Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. You may know that March is Disability Awareness Month. In Muncie, there's some good news for folks with disabilities. The Erskine Green Training Institute opened this year at the Courtyard Muncie at Horizon Convention Center. The first class of students just graduated. After receiving their training, they can apply for internships at the Courtyard Hotel downtown where they trained, or the attached Three Wise Men restaurant, or at IU Health Ball Memorial Hospital. Megan Stevenson is the training center's director.
The Arc of Indiana, a non-for-profit, advocates for people with disabilities. So anything that is affecting the disability population, the ARC is going to get involved at some level. So over time, the unemployment rate in individuals with disability has become well known. And so that's an issue in the population that we, the ARC, advocates for. So the ARC wanted to start doing something to tackle this issue. So the idea of the hotel and the training institute came about 5 to 6 years ago. This ended up coming to fruition, was built, and so now we have students here who are out of high school, have a disability of some kind, and are receiving specialized training in one of three environments: the hotel, the restaurant, or the healthcare setting.
She said hospitality jobs may be especially well-suited for people with certain conditions.
And this isn't across the board, but, you know, a lot of individuals with disabilities like consistency in their day. They like to know what to expect, like similarity across day-to-day tasks. And in these types of jobs that we're training, there's some differentiation between the tasks that you have to do and what your days look like, but there's a lot of consistency in the jobs, which fits well with the learning styles of individuals with intellectual disabilities.
What do we know today, you suppose, that we didn't know 30 or 40 years ago about how to help folks with disabilities and the importance of work and the importance of working?
Back then, you know, the individuals with disabilities were just wanting to be recognized in the school system. You know, education was a huge thing, just fighting for education. And so that was a big focus back then, is let's just get individuals with disabilities in the school system. And now that they're in the school system, inclusion is more common nowadays. Now it's, okay, that's school. But then when they get out of school, the next environment that they're in is the living and employment area. So now that all of, you know, that big movement that happened back then, getting these individuals in the school system, now they're out of school. And so now it's, we need to be looking at employment and how do we embed them and include them in your typical employment settings.
And there's some challenges that some of these folks have. What does the training do to help them overcome that?
So a lot of our students can learn the job. Learning the job isn't the issue. It's they may need longer to learn the job. They may need more one-on-one teaching to learn the job versus just throwing them in and making them learn it on the job. And so with us, we've allowed a long amount of time to teach the job. And then our student staff ratio is pretty small. So our students are able to get a lot of one-on-one instruction that they need to initially learn the job. And then once they learn it, then, you know, we're good to go. It's just a matter of making sure that the type of intense training up front is provided. And we're able to provide that to our students who are coming through the training institute.
And some companies want to help, don't they?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of companies spend a lot of time trying to hire and spending time training new employees. So with our students, we are the ones training the students. And so employers are interested in getting our students because they're already trained. So they don't have to spend the amount of time that they would have to spend on a new employee training them because we've already trained them. So yeah, there might need some time for the generalization piece. You know, we've trained in this hotel and now they're in a different hotel. So making sure that they've generalized some of those skills. But for the most part, they have the set of skills already. So now the employer doesn't have to spend a ton of time training, which employers like that.
Are there some compensating advantages that these people bring to jobs?
Yeah, so there's a lot of research out there where companies have made it, made an effort to hire individuals with disabilities to make their workforce more diverse. But then also research shows a few different things. One, there's a lower turnover rate. So if you look at the employees in a company with a disability and you compare them to employees without a disability, you see things such as less absenteeism. So individuals with disabilities, most of them are not going to be calling in for a day off, unlike, you know, employees without a disability. You see a lower turnover rate. So they stay at jobs longer than employees without a disability. So now that there's research and numbers and statistics coming out regarding this, more companies are wanting to jump on board with hiring this population.
Megan Stevenson, director of the new Erskine Green Training Institute in downtown Muncie, where the first class of students just graduated. Coming up, talking with one of the students about his hopes.
I was born on a Sunday.
Indiana Weekend.
Interesting people and places from across our region.
Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line.
Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
Now here's John Strauss.
Talking today about the Erskine Green Training Institute in Muncie, located in the downtown Courtyard Hotel. We visited just a few days before graduation for the first class, and some of the students were working in the hotel's laundry room. We talked with Brendan Sifoni, a blind man in his mid-20s who was folding sheets.
It's an awesome experience. All the staff here are really, really good. And they taught me like so much, like things I've never even learned before I got here. Like I learned how to fold a lot better. Like I improved my skills on that. And just, you know, meeting all the new people is really awesome. The food's here really good too.
You're a cheerful person.
I try to be, you know, life's too short, you know, to be negative, you know, and upset.
You don't have the gift of sight, right?
No, sir.
What's your situation? Tell me about that.
I'm totally blind. I have no light perception at all. It's a disease called Stickler syndrome, and it's hereditary.
Some people, they'd be down in the dumps. They'd be sad if that happened to them. How do you look at it?
To be honest, I consider it a blessing because, I mean, I have so many different gifts that I can, you know, so many things I can do. I mean, you know, just because I have a visual impairment doesn't mean I can't, you know, do what a sighted person does. The only difference is I have no vision.
You got an interesting philosophy about life. Tell me about that, because a couple times we've been talking, you've smiled and you know, tell me about your philosophy about getting through life.
I just learned to deal with the cards I've been dealt and, you know, just, you know, I got this opportunity, you know, that's really what made my life a lot better. And, you know, I have supports. I have people that care about me and, you know, help me through my day-to-day life. And like I said earlier, life's too short to be, you know, upset about your disability. I mean, I know some people out there who are disabled, you know, sometimes get down. And I'd like to be an advocate for those types of people, you know, show them it's nothing to be ashamed of. You know, that's why I'm happy I'm in this program, because it's showing the world that just because someone's disabled doesn't mean they can't function, you know, have a job, you know, be independent.
Some people don't appreciate everything that they have. You know, you ever heard people sort of complain and you think to yourself, well.
Yeah, I mean, some people wish they were rich and, you know, I mean, the money's nice. I mean, money buy things, but you got to be happy with what you have. That's very important. I mean, and that's what most of the world is like. I mean, there's some people that appreciate what they have, but I mean, we're only human. We all make mistakes. I mean, when somebody, you know, if somebody has something else that somebody else wants, they're going to be jealous, but we shouldn't do that.
What do you do for fun?
I actually play guitar and I sing. I love to read, swim, like going to hang out with friends, you know, go to the movies.
I asked if he could play us something on the guitar.
Have you had a job before?
No, this would be my first job.
So that's got to feel pretty cool.
Well, it's going to be nice to have my own money. I mean, with SSI and everything, I do have my own money with that, but it's going to be nice not living off the government, you know, because people have told me, you know, oh, you're just sitting at home getting paid, you know, sitting around while, you know, I'm putting in money for Social Security. And I'm like, I have a right to that money, but I don't want to depend on Social Security the rest of my life. I want to make my own money. I want to make something of myself. Because my grandfather, my grandmother, they were both blind too. And like they were visually, like they were totally blind as well. And my grandfather was a lawyer and my grandmother was an English teacher. So, I mean, that proves that, you know, just because you have a disability doesn't make you any less of a person. And, you know, it proves that you can do anything you put your mind to.
What an example.
Yep. And that's where I get my positiveness from. And I mean, they're both dead now, but they're watching over me. I mean, I believe they're up there watching over me.
Was there anybody out there who said, hey, you know, you can do this?
I have a great girl that really encourages me to do things. And she's always there for me. And she helps me get through my day-to-day activities. You know, if I'm having a bad day, she'll talk to me.
Is she your girlfriend?
Yeah. And she's also here at the Institute as well. Her name's Heather.
What's the future going to be like?
I mean, I want to, you know, be working. I want to have a house, you know, get a nice house. And I also want to have a family eventually when I'm ready. I also might want to go to college. I was considering Ball State because they do have a good disabilities office up there, I heard. They're really good with, you know, how they are with people with disabilities. Like, they can get the right accommodations.
Brendan Sifoni, a blind graduate of the Erskine Green Training Institute at the Courtyard in downtown Muncie. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says that unemployment among people with disabilities tops 80%, forcing many to seek public assistance. Hospitality, meanwhile, is said to be the world's fastest growing industry, according to a study by Eastern Michigan University. So the ARC of Indiana has set up what organizers say is the first statewide hospitality training center for people with disabilities. Coming up, more with Megan Stevenson, the center's director.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Are there other training centers like this around the country that you've been able to look to and say, oh, that's great.
There aren't. No one like us. So there are some post-secondary programs out there targeted to individuals with intellectual and or developmental disabilities, but they're not like us. So we haven't been able to mimic anybody because what we're doing is unique. So I've been able to look at some post-secondary universities that do some special types of programs for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities just to see what they do. But again, we can't mimic that because, one, we're not on a university setting. We are training specific jobs. So students aren't just coming here for the experience. They're here to learn a job. And so it's very targeted in the purpose for why they're here.
The folks that we've talked to seem really grateful to be here. Do you see some of that?
Absolutely, because a big issue is post-secondary opportunities for people with disabilities. There aren't many. When you're looking at the requirements to get into your traditional post-secondary setting, so to get into a Ball State, to get into an Ivy Tech, a Kaplan College, a Purdue, you have to have a diploma, or you have to have a GED. You have to have one of those in order to be accepted. Well, leaving Indiana schools, you get a diploma, you get a GED, or you just get a certificate of completion. So I don't have data from last year, but in the previous 5 years, 6,400 students exited high school with a certificate of completion. So that's 6,400 students who cannot go on to any post-secondary training because they don't have that diploma or GED. So they're grateful because there isn't any other opportunity right now for some of those students who don't have that diploma.
As you've talked with folks, can you think of a conversation you had where you thought, you know, where you kind of heard this, you got some reaction that was enheartening or useful to you?
One piece that we see a lot of is, yes, they're here to get the job skills. That's obviously our number one focus, is that they learn the job. But kind of just as important are those social skills. So you're living on your own. Do you have the skills to do that? Friends, making friends, planning, you have all day Saturday and all day Sunday. What do you want to do? So that social, that freedom piece has been just as important to our students who haven't necessarily gotten to experience all of that as the job piece. So we, of course, knew that the job was going to be our number one focus, but as we got here and as students are experiencing life outside of school, it's just made it very noticeable that that is almost just as important as the job skills that we're teaching.
And the benefits of a job, you know, include the money, but also people want to feel useful and they want to have a purpose. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, and if you think about life, most of us, a big part of our life is work. It's obviously not the entire part, but friends, a lot of friendships are developed from work. A lot of social events in the evenings and weekends come from work type settings, people you've met. If you take work out of the picture, if I think about all the friends that I have developed, a lot of them have come from different work environments. If I took all of those work environments out, my friends would be who I made in high school or college. And so work is one, yeah, you want to be a productive member of society, but you also want to have friends and you want to have a social life. And so having work provides friendships that then cultivate a good social life. You want to be independent. Well, you can't be independent if you don't have a job that financially provides money for some type of housing arrangement. So the job is kind of like the door that opens up all of these other good possibilities. And without that job, you're limited.
What do you think the public's perception is of people with disabilities?
I would say it's changing. I think people are starting to see that individuals with disabilities are capable of doing jobs if they're given the opportunity. I think people are becoming more open to accepting individuals with disabilities into their environment. I think one thing that we see is individuals, employers, so your HR department, your managers, it's not that they're not willing to interview and to hire individuals with disabilities, they just don't know how to go about doing it. So what if somebody's nonverbal? Okay, I don't know how to communicate with them, so I'm just not going to hire them. Whereas now people are becoming more familiar with the services and supports out there, which are there to help individuals with disabilities in employment. And so the more information that's out there for employers to be aware of, the more comfortable they're becoming. You have more success stories of people with disabilities in employment settings. So again, more success stories highlights the ability in this population, which then opens up more doorways.
Do we think about this population differently today and what they're capable of? Yep. Sometimes I'm sure there are situations where workplaces, you know, they never tried in the past, but once they try to reasonably accommodate someone, they have, a very hardworking, focused person in some cases that they didn't realize that this was possible. Is there some of that out there?
Yeah. So, you know, when you talk about reasonable accommodations, what does that mean? You know, it's so vague that people have a hard time understanding what that means. And a big issue that I see maybe changing here soon is disclosure. So individuals with disabilities tend to not tell their employer that they have a disability because they are afraid. And again, research shows that if you say on your application that you have a disability, the likelihood of you getting called in for an interview is less than somebody with a disability. So why would you tell your employer, hey, I have autism, or hey, I have this type of disability and this type of accommodation would work for me? They're not telling their employers, so therefore they're not getting accommodations because they're afraid that they won't get the job. And so if we can start getting things turned around, if employers can be more comfortable with the idea of hiring people with disabilities because they see the talent in this population, then this population won't have to be afraid about disclosing their disability and they can get those accommodations that they need. But employers can't provide those reasonable accommodations if the employees aren't forthcoming with that disability. So it's kind of on both sides. One, I don't know that employers wouldn't necessarily provide the accommodations. They just don't know that the individual needs them or that the individual even has a disability. And there's some resources out there that are free that if you have an individual on the job who needs some accommodations, okay, I don't know what type of accommodations are needed. So maybe I'm the manager. I know this employee uses a wheelchair. We need to do some rearranging of the workspace, but I don't know what to do or how to do it. There are resources in the state that you can reach out to and say, hey, we need some assistance.
Megan Stevenson, director of the Erskine Green Training Institute for People with Disabilities and the Courtyard Hotel in downtown Muncie. One after another, the people we met there and at Hillcroft Industries, at the PRISM Project at Ball State, and with the Sky Riders Equestrian Team in Jay County for kids with disabilities, all those people told us they wanted the same thing, a chance. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft, and all the folks in the front office, including your friends Matt Bloom, Connie Clary, Lori Georgie, Emily Kowalski, Andrea Lutz, John Morgan, Angie Rapp, and Debbie Webb. Glad you could join us this time. Hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from IPR's listeners. We hope you'll join your friends who are IPR members. You can go to indianapublicradio.org or give us a call at 1-800-646-1812. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.